The following Dharma talk was recorded in March 2015 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of 8 recordings from the retreat called The 4 Messengers and the Message, taught by John Yaffe and Bridget Rollins. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. John Yaffe began practicing insight meditation in 1999 and has been a co-leader of St. Louis Insight Meditation Group since 2006. John is a student of Matthew Flickstein and has served on the Mid-America Dharma Board of Directors since 2005. Bridget Rollins has practiced insight meditation since 1997. Her mentors include Matthew Flickstein, Ginny Morgan, and Gloria Terania Ambrosia. Recognized by the Spirit Rock Teachers Council as a community Dharma leader, Bridget shares the Dharma through classes, workshops, and retreats.
Welcoming you back to our last day of retreat. And one of the things that happens on the last day of retreat is a phenomena called going home mind. And what I would invite you to do is, if going home mind comes up, just say, not now. I will return to you at 3 p.m. this afternoon. And trying to stay on retreat for the full time of retreat. As I was just sitting here, in your presence, a lot of gratitude was coming up for the blessing and the gift of Sangha. And also, again, struck with the rarity of the possibility of the conditions coming together to bring us all here. And remembering from yesterday when we were reflecting on, we want to seize the moment because we don't know what kinds of conditions will be in the next moment or in the future. And we might not have these same kinds of propitious conditions. So now is the best time to practice. And really, now is always the best time to practice. And really, now is the only time that we have to practice. And it doesn't matter if we're sitting on retreat, very wholesome and skillful to kind of be that temporary renunciate and let go of the busyness of our householder lives. It's a time that, with the simplification, it's a little easier to focus on developing the wholesome skills of meditation. But when we leave here, that's not the time to stop practicing. That's the time to continue. And we might then, imagine that now we're going into the retreat practice of householder life. You know, that our monastery becomes our homes, our offices, the society in which we live. And for now, just as the monks and nuns, they're in their monastic setting, but they have a time during the rainy season where they have several months of retreat. So even they simplify life even more and go into retreat. So let's just really let ourselves fully sink into these remaining hours of retreat. Just be right here and continue to deepen our practice. Care for ourselves with this kindness and compassion. And for this first meditation of the day, we're going to turn to the third foundation of mindfulness. This is called mindfulness of mind. Sometimes you'll see it translated mindfulness of consciousness. And as John mentioned before, we might see consciousness as the flashlight turning on. Or another way to understand consciousness is a motion detector, light that's on a motion detector. So as the sense organ, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, sensing in the body, mind, meets a sense object, it's like the motion is there and it clicks on the light of consciousness. I like to understand the instructions from the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It's more helpful for me to think of mental states. So I'm going to read the Buddha's instruction. So, you know, how does one practice mindfulness of mental states? And this is what the Buddha says. Here, bhikkhus, and remember, bhikkhu, we are bhikkhus today. A bhikkhu knows the mind with lust as mind with lust. And when he's talking about lust, he's not talking just about sexual desire. This is about desire for sense pleasure. We might also understand this as any kind of desire or craving. So the bhikkhu knows the mind with lust as mind with lust, the mind without lust as the mind without lust, the mind with hate, or you might say aversion, as mind with aversion, mind without aversion as mind without aversion, the mind with delusion as mind with delusion, the mind without delusion as mind without delusion, the constricted mind. This refers to that sleepy, sinking, dull. The constricted mind as constricted mind. The mind without constriction as a mind without constriction. The scattered mind or restless mind as scattered mind. And the mind without scattering as the mind without scattered. And he lists some more, but these are probably the ones that will notice. Now, just notice that nowhere in this sutta does he say, you know, if you have a mind filled with craving, aversion, delusion, restlessness, sleepiness, that you should now create a story about being someone who is failing at meditation. That's not in the instruction. Also, you know, if you're aware of a mind without all of these things, it doesn't say, and now create a story about how you're so successful and you know, just you're someone who is now a good yogi. The mind will do this. So know a mind that's creating a story about you being someone who, as a mind creating a story about you being someone who, and just remember that whenever you create a story about someone who you are and you cling after it, the Buddha said that's one of the three main ways of suffering. Similarly, if you create a story about you are someone who is not, you know, or someone that you hate or you don't want to be, that is another form of clinging. It's the one is clinging to becoming, the one is clinging to not becoming. And the Buddha said when we cling to that sense of self, we're going to suffer. Check this out for yourself. If you find yourself caught in either of these stories about who you are, just notice, does it create freedom and peace and calm in you? Or is there a sense of tension? Is there stress there? I'm pretty sure there is in the sutta the Buddha saying that, you know, if you boil down all of his teachings, what he did was, I teach liberation through non-clinging. You know, that kind of makes it very simple. All we need to do is notice, where am I clinging? Let go. Notice what happens when I let go. One way of defining nibbana or enlightenment or liberation is when clinging ceases. And we can experience that on a moment-by-moment basis. Just notice when you let go. You know, you let go of the craving, you let go of the aversion, you let go of the story about who you are, and just come back to being totally present in this moment. When you let go, just notice what that feels like. That's non-clinging. There's a moment of liberation. And our practice is to, you know, make that happen more frequently. And the awakened ones, the liberated ones, have developed such a wisdom and a practice with this that clinging no longer arises. So it is possible. And as our beloved teacher Taraniya would say, over the months and years and maybe lifetimes of practice, this will happen. This will happen. And all we need to do is keep coming back to the moment. Again, John was quoting Taraniya, the mind is not stupid. So when we are just fully present and we know, oh, here's craving, here's aversion, here's the dullness, the sloth and torpor, here's restlessness, here's confusion. I love the definition of doubt. So one of the ways that you experience doubt, have you ever noticed you're thinking, well, I wonder if I should be paying attention to my breath, or if I should be paying attention to this, or I wonder if I'm doing this right? Those are all forms of doubt, of confusion. And all we need to do is be as fully present to what it's like to experience that and to experience when it's absent. Okay? And the mind is like a sunflower turning towards the sun. It's not stupid. It will gradually get to know the suffering state, and it will begin to turn toward the state of non-suffering. But because of our ignorance and because of delusion, we're not always clear about that. We don't get a really good, as I think Taraniya also talks about, you know, we want to give the mind good, clean data. Okay, mind, I thought craving was going to get me what I wanted, but if I really look at it. So that will be our practice for this morning, mindfulness of mental states. Any questions about that? Okay. So, this is how Ajahn Chah would teach about this. And for those who aren't familiar, Ajahn Chah was a Thai forest monk, and many of our Western teachers studied with Ajahn Chah. And he was a very wise, liberated human being with a great sense of humor, very earthy. So, and I love this. This is a metaphor, okay? So, no, it's a metaphor. It's not how you're supposed to meditate. The metaphor is taking the one seat. Ajahn Chah says, just go into the room and put one chair in the center. Take the seat in the center of the room, open the doors and windows, and see who comes to visit. You will witness all kinds of scenes and actors, all kinds of temptation and stories imaginable. Your only job is to stay in your seat. You will see it all arise and pass, and out of this, wisdom and understanding will come. As I see it, the mind is like a single point, the center of the universe. And mental states are like visitors who come to stay at this point for short or long periods of time. Get to know these visitors well. Become familiar with the vivid pictures they paint, the alluring stories they tell, to entice you to follow them, but do not give up your seat. It's the only chair around. If you continue to occupy it unceasingly, greeting each guest as it comes, firmly establishing yourself in awareness, transforming your mind into the one who knows, the one who is awake, the visitors will eventually stop coming back. So let's take a moment to take our seats. Just checking into the body right now as it is, and finding your balance between sitting in a posture that's upright and alert, dignified, awake, and letting that also be relaxed. Noticing any pockets of tension in the face or jaw, neck and shoulders, heart space, belly, lower back, any place else in the body, and inviting them to release if they can. Letting whatever cannot release and relax just be as it is. And then taking a few moments just to help the mind settle, get a little bit of stability by resting the attention on the breath. Receiving each breath just as it is. When breathing in, knowing that we're breathing in. When breathing out, knowing that we're breathing out. Knowing each breath again just as it is. So sometimes long, short, deep, shallow, even, uneven, constricted, relaxed. In a sense, each breath is a visitor to awareness that we simply welcome and observe. We stay in our seat. Noticing other visitors to the awareness that want to pull us off the focus on the breath. So there may be a judgment in the mind. I don't like the way this breath is. I'm doing it wrong. Some kind of judgment or some kind of commentary. Or some kind of planning to try and fix or change what's going on. Those visitors that are pulling the mind into the future, planning, or into the past, ruminating. We want to stay in our seat and right now practice the skillful practice of concentrating on the breath to create stability. Or if breath is a problem for you, then choosing one object, perhaps hearing or other sensation in the body, as the primary object of your meditation. So letting the physical sensations of your breath be your home base. When the mind gets confused, or if it gets really pulled off your seat, you can always come back. Spend a little time simply concentrating on breath to create a little more stability. It's like you're coming back to your chair. And now, if you wish, from time to time, letting the awareness expand around the breath and just letting yourself be curious and interested to know what mental state is present. Again, you are staying in your seat. You're just opening the awareness. You are the one who knows, the one who is awake. And you just want to acknowledge what is true, what is present. If there is craving, desire for a pleasant experience, which might be a pleasant, mundane physical experience, sensual experience, or we might be craving a pleasant spiritual experience, just knowing, oh, okay, the visitor is craving right now. If there is aversion, not liking, pushing away, hating what's happening, we simply know, oh, hatred, aversion is visiting right now. We're feeling confused, caught in a fog of confusion, then just knowing confusion is here, doubt, ignorance, not knowing. Similarly with a sleepy, dull mind or a restless, agitated mind. And noticing too when those visitors are absent. Just noticing, you know, there's no sleepiness right now. no restlessness, no craving, no aversion. We don't have to do anything about the mental state. Mindfulness knows clearly the truth of the way things are in the mind, moment by moment. And as we witness all kinds of scenes and actors, all kinds of temptations and stories, what we can also notice is that they come into the space of the mind, they exist for a while, and at some point, they pass away. We can see birth, aging, and death happening on a moment-by-moment basis with our mental states. And noticing when that moment of passing away comes, if that moment of passing away comes, just notice that this is a moment of the absence of that mental state. And if the mind gets too confused or gets pulled into the dance of these mental states, gets lost in stories about who you are or who you are not, coming back to your seat, coming back to your breath. And just be with the breath for a while until you feel a little more stable, and then experiment with this opening to mindfulness of mental states.